Two kids are so naughty that even the Bride of Frankenstein bails on them. Fortunately, a singing witch and a tap-dancing vagrant teach their parents to love them and reject capitalism. It's Mary Poppins, and it was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Everybody knows that the Bride of Frankenstein's in the beginning of this movie, right?
No, I did not know that.
The nanny that is like,
fuck these kids.
Fuck your kids. I'm leaving now.
No.
The money, please, is the Bride of Frankenstein, is Elsa Lanchester.
That's amazing.
Interesting.
20 to 30 years earlier.
Wow.
Was the Bride of Frankenstein.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Good for her. Oh, yeah. Hi. I'm Sean Collier. This is number one movie in America. I am here with two people who are here to learn in this psychology course and don't need Barbara Streisand's antics. It's Camila Adams.
Hello.
And Robin Hitchcock.
Making flowers grow.
Was there a moment in the 70s where you signed up for
magic powers?
Psychology 101 or, you know, Sociology 101, and then you walked in and the teacher hypnotized people all damn day?
I have no idea.
Probably. I mean, I was alive in the 70s. I wasn't that alive.
Yeah.
But probably, maybe.
Listen,
maybe
there were
also probably like you got dosed with some LSD too.
Yeah. At this time.
And there were a lot of hypnotism plots in the 80s and 90s. So they had to be learning somewhere.
Have you ever seen like a stage hypnotist?
No.
No, because I don't fuck with magicians.
Yeah.
Visit Liberty Magic, downtown Pittsburgh, if you do fuck with magicians. I did a weekend with a stage hypnotist, and on the one hand, I'm deeply skeptical about what's going on in there. Mm. On the other hand, they'll do things and be like, not only does this convince me that hypnotism is real, it doesn't even make sense assuming that hypnotism is real.
Mm.
Like, he hypnotized a couple of people to, when he snapped his fingers or whatever, believe that they were the only people left in the room.
I don't like that.
And
neither do I.
And it does the thing, snaps his finger. There's a guy on stage who like wakes up, looks around, and yells at the door. Can still hear it in my head. I'm saying, Greg, did your dumbass leave me here? Like, completely. And I'm like, unless this man is an improviser,
right,
and I don't think he is, this guy thinks he's the only one in the room. How does your brain do that?
I have no idea, but it scares me. It spooks me to think, to even try to be the one to, like.
I'm going to agree. Gross. Weird.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, I get it. You know, Pavlov's dog to assert hypnotism to a certain extent,
mm-hmm,
and subconscious,
mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah,
things of that nature. But I don't know. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
This is vaguely related to On a Clear Day You Can See Forever, which we talked about last time, 47 and a third. Ran into some people who at least had seen and remembered part of the movie. No one with like fond feelings or anything. My acting teacher from when I was 13 years old messaged me for the first time probably in 20 years with strong opinions about how they got the musical wrong. She remembered the stage musical and said this was a bad adaptation.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, thank you, Mrs. C. Other than that, though, we stay in the era, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
This is like when we talked about Raiders of the Lost Ark, where it's like, I'm sure I've seen Mary Poppins because it's just in the air. It's just signal, bits of Mary Poppins are floating on the wind at all times.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Sherry Bobbins.
Did you say Mary Poppins?
No, I definitely did not. I'm an original creation like Ricky Rouse and Monald Muck.
But I couldn't have, like, said, oh yeah, I remember when. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, I watched this movie all the time when I was a kid. And
I wasn't one of those. Mary Beth was one of those.
This was in heavy rotation when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself, when I was watching it, not really remembering the sequence of events.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh, well, they're getting to this part.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was surprised. I kept thinking about Mary Poppins Returns.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, wow, they really went like beat for beat.
Yes.
Oh, really?
And I didn't notice that when we saw Mary Poppins Returns, whenever that was, 2019.
Did I watch that with you?
We did see it together, yes.
A lot of forgettable screenings run together, and that sure was a forgettable screening.
Yes.
You watched this recently, Camila.
Before Kaj was born. So, I mean, it was sometime in like my late 30s or something like that. For whatever reason, I watched it recently. But then I don't remember when I saw it as a child. Mm. I know I did. I had the album as a child, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
We used to play that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And everything was familiar as it was coming. It was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Here's the part. Here's that bit. And,
right.
But I had forgotten how slow it is to start. To like really get into anything, and it's really apparent when you're trying to get a 3-year-old to like pay attention to it.
That was going to be my next question: is did you watch it with Kaja?
I tried, and she was just not interested at all. Like, I'm fast forwarding a little bit. I'm like, okay, here's the song. Like,
there's penguins now.
Yeah, exactly. That caught her for a hot second. The penguins. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, there's penguins dancing, and it's like, yes. And then she's like, I want to go upstairs now. Once they were done, so.
While admitting that penguins into this guy's drunk and on the ceiling or something, that's a hard transition.
It is.
Can we talk about the people in the boat?
Why?
What is
Why
going
are they?
On?
Why are they?
Here's the closest thing I have to a reveal on this episode. I just loved the shit out of this movie.
Oh,
like,
really?
Passionately, emotionally responded to this.
Wow.
And found it very fast paced. Now,
wow,
I will specify I watched it in 3 shifts. Maybe that had something to do with it.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I was just busy this weekend and I was like, okay, I got 40. I can get to, I could get to when they jump in the painting. So that might have, but like in that first shift, I was like, this is a breakneck pace. They said 4 lines and a new song is starting, and now a new song is starting. And now I just thought it was really moving.
They do move between the songs very quickly. It is very often like song, shortest bit of dialogue,
right.
New song. They're really going song to song, but there's a lot of damn songs.
So many songs.
Okay, there's maybe too many songs.
Yeah.
But one of the things I loved was not only that the boat guys are there, and I found that, you know, a whimsical running gag, but that there's no real reason for them to be.
Okay.
In a modern movie, you know, somehow they would have had to fire a cannonball through capitalism to get him his job back. And instead, nope, they're just the quirky boat guys. I love
they're
that.
They're like Daryl in Glass Onion.
Yeah.
Just there.
Oh, that's...
they're just there.
And how...
They're not part of this. They're just here.
Right.
How effective Daryl was, because all 3 of us went, Daryl? Just like the characters in the movie.
Right.
Oh, I got lots of things to say because I'm doing the recap. More on my strong feelings later, but for now, I'll just tell you what happens.
Go.
The Banks children run off chasing kites and generally being brats because Dad is too busy being a fastidious banker and Mom is properly busy being a suffragette. When their nanny, the Bride of Frankenstein, quits, they look for a new nanny. As predicted by vaguely psychic and slightly magical chimney sweep artist street musician Bert, Mary Poppins, correctly identified by the children as a witch, descends from the sky and blows all the other nanny applicants into oblivion. Her blend of nice singing, constant unexplained sorcery, and no-nonsense attitude gets the children to be marginally more well-behaved and confounds the father. When Dad takes the kids to the bank, the kids throw a dumb fit about a lady who feeds birds, leading to Dad getting fired and Mary Poppins declaring her job done. Bert educates Dad about the evils of hustle culture and a bad joke inadvertently kills the bank manager, leading to Dad getting rehired for some reason. Everyone flies kites. Also, the next door neighbors have a full-ass boat on the roof, which doesn't add much but is consistently funny.
Okay. Good job.
Nice.
Yeah, you came in like 5 seconds under or something.
And you covered everything, including the boat guys, which I brought them up because I thought they wouldn't make it to the recap.
Well, I didn't mention the animation, which is really the centerpiece of the film, nor the one thing I would cut is Edwin. As much as Edwin is a cultural treasure, I'm like, I don't think the tea party on the ceiling added anything to
story. That was the part where I was like, Mary Poppins Returns was a very direct remake because that's the Meryl Streep part.
That's true.
There's more tea parties on the ceiling.
On the ceiling, but they go visit someone who acts wacky and then they leave and they have no relevance to the plot.
Gotcha.
I do think there's some upside down business too.
With
Meryl Streep. Yes.
With this, I mean, I guess that was like just for the callback to let the old man die, because didn't he start floating after he was told the bad joke?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of setup just for a big old.
A lot of setup.
And even, like, Mary really didn't seem to enjoy her. Like, ugh, fucking Mary.
Let's talk
about Mary.
We need to talk about Mary.
Yeah.
I understand.
You have to talk.
I understand that, you know, children are a fucking chore.
Mm-hmm.
But you chose this profession, Mary. One. Two, Mary's dead, yes? Or is she
just a witch? She flies in. She has magic.
She's like sitting on a cloud. At the very beginning,
she's part of nature. It feels more witchy than ghosty to me.
Genie powers, in Aladdin Disney's Maybe. Aladdin genie powers.
I saw something online that says that she's in the same universe as Pennywise, but it's neither here nor there.
Have you seen the horror trailer where they recut Mary Poppins to do a horror movie trailer? It's very spooky.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is the gaslighting that she puts these children through. Like, you know, they're sitting there super excited about dancing with penguins in a painting, and she's like, that didn't happen. But Mary, we were right there. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You sound like an idiot. You sound dumb right now, Michael.
So when I started watching this with Colin, he was really into the rules, the metaphysical rules of Mary Poppins.
Oh, there
and I
are
was
none.
Like, please stop. Like, just
you're going to hurt yourself.
And then he was like, is it all a metaphor? Like, do the kids just feel like they're in the painting because they're having so much fun? And I was like, that seems dumb. No.
I don't think it's that.
It just doesn't make sense. And I mean, it doesn't need to.
If she can float in from the sky and she can bewitch mirrors, then we can go into a painting.
But Colin was like, does she have weather control powers? I was like, stop doing what you're doing.
You must stop.
One of the songs establishes that something, and then chases bright sunny day. Yeah, she has weather powers.
And I think even Dick Van Dyke is like, when she comes in, he's like, oh shit, the wind is changing. Like, you know, so mm-hmm. he sensed her coming.
That is what I want to know. Are Bert and Mary fucking?
He tries to shoot his shot the entire time.
Right.
Like, so I'm thinking they had a little thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
Whenever she comes in, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
What's up, Bert?
Maybe it's because I want what I want it to be, but I like this very rarely represented thing where there's a friendship between a man and a woman, and there's like a little flirty edge to it, but it is completely chaste, which we almost never see without that developing into a love story.
I'll accept that, because she has a line in one of the songs about her, or maybe she just mentions how she, you know what, Bert, a woman can feel totally safe with you, aka friend zone.
I'm not going to tell you it's not gaslighting. I am going to tell you that Mary Poppins works in mysterious ways, and she's trying to teach the children that when something nice happens to you, it's annoying and shitty to like spend the next 12 hours going, we did a thing.
You know what?
That's her lesson.
This is the most pure that I have ever seen Sean Collier. True. Like, his whole demeanor has changed. And Mary has touched him in a way.
Just made me happy.
The beautiful thing about Mary.
Yeah. No wonder that it's Mary that we love.
And the only other thing is that as many situations as she puts them in for silliness and shenanigans, she seems to hate it. Like, you are the catalyst for this, but yeah, you're in it like, ugh.
So that brings me back to the genie thing. I don't know if she chose this.
Gotcha.
Right? I think that maybe she is part, like, in every generation, a Mary Poppins is chosen.
This is a curse.
Yes.
This is like, I got it.
If that is it.
Are they going to be British again? Because Jesus Christ.
Better.
Right, you're improving the film. A film that was released August 27th of 1964 in Los Angeles, September 24th in New York. On our list, it only definitively won two weekends, those being October 28th and November 11th, but it made a lot of money. It was because of the slow rollout thing where, yes, we're talking about 64, but it wasn't everywhere for a while. It is the number one film of 1965 with $26.5 million that year, the rough equivalent of $246 million or so in 1965 alone. That does not count what it made in 64 and beyond. Its official total gross, again, weird numbers, a long time ago, official total gross is north of $102 million, helped by re-releases in 1973 and 1980. It is said that the profits from Mary Poppins gave Disney the money lying around needed to buy the land in Florida. to build Disney World. That's how much money it made.
You're welcome, Disney adults. Yeah.
Thank you, Mary. I've seen a million places that, like, and in return, they named the safety thing on the monorail Mapo. I'm like, you could have done better than that.
Yeah.
If this is, you name it the Mary Poppins Castle instead of whatever. On the inflation adjusted all time chart, this is the 27th highest grossing film of all time. It has outgrossed films such as Grease, The Avengers, The Dark Knight, Ghostbusters, Independence Day, Home Alone. None of those are as successful as Mary Poppins. Here's the big one. Expensive baubles.
Okay, so Julie Andrews won Best Actress.
That's true.
It was nominated for Best Picture.
It was.
I'm going to guess it was nominated for Best Director.
It was.
Yeah, they were pretty tied in the 60s. How many am I going for, by the way? How many did it win?
Five wins.
Five?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have one.
Actress.
All right, let's say the other four, did they do song score?
No, best original score, it did win.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then best original song.
Yes. Want to take a guess at which?
I think my memory is telling me that it's Chim Chim Tree.
Correct.
Okay.
Actress, score, song.
Editing?
Yep.
In
what way was this a lot better than most other things happening in 1964?
Art direction?
No.
I don't know.
Visual effects.
Oh, I didn't know that they were doing that back
then.
They
were just barely doing visual effects by then. So yes, it won those five Oscars: actress, original song, original score, editing, and visual effects. There are eight more nominations.
Oh my God.
Wow.
You've named two of them. It's going to get down to some weird categories in a hurry.
So I'm going to say color costumes.
Color costumes, yes.
Color costumes?
Yeah, they used to divide costumes by color and black and white.
Huh.
Color cinematography?
Yep. You said one of them already, color art direction.
Oh, I didn't even know they did color versus black and white art direction. How many more do I have?
Two more, I think. You said five more.
How many more categories are there?
We're all around it. In addition to original score, it also was nominated for adapted score for some reason with what the music did. So I guess we're looking for two more.
Does it have any other song nominations?
No.
I don't know.
Sound.
Okay.
And adapted screenplay.
Oh.
It lost Best Picture, Best Director, Adapted Score, Sound, Art Direction, Color, Cinematography, Color, and Costume Design, Color, all to My Fair Lady. My Fair Lady beat it for all of those. It lost Adapted Screenplay to Beckett. Don't know what that is. I think that's all of it.
I think it's Peter O'Toole and Richard Burton.
Anyway, it was nominated for 13 awards. The ones that it lost, it mostly lost to My Fair Lady. It won five of them. 13 remains the record number of nominations for a Disney film.
Two ladies with fancy hats and umbrellas going head to head.
Right. 14 is the total.
I don't think anything's had more than 14.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure 14 is the highest it's gotten for any movie.
Wow. And there was some, I should know this better, there was some casting switcheroo. Julie Andrews played My Fair Lady protagonist. I want to say
Eliza Doolittle.
Yeah, I was about to say Holly Golightly. I was crossing my Audrey Hepburns. Julie Andrews played that on Broadway, and they took it away from her and gave it to Audrey Hepburn because Audrey Hepburn was more of a movie star at the time.
And she was like, I'm going to show you.
Oh, yeah, watch me do it. Now I'll do movies. How about that?
Hold my beer.
Yes.
The only Disney film nominated for Best Picture in Walt Disney's lifetime.
Interesting.
Oh.
Hey, some of these people are still alive.
A weirdly alive cast. My jaw dropped when I saw that Glynis Johns is alive.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
The mom.
The mom is still alive at 99.
Bless her heart.
Something about, since Olivia de Havilland died, she's the oldest prominent golden age star, whatever you're going to count it as. Truly forgot that Julie Andrews was still alive.
Me too. I was.
Julie Andrews is alive. Dick Van Dyke is alive. I was nervous literally the last 2 weeks. I'm like, every day I was like, did Dick Van Dyke die?
I just saw him on somebody's Instagram. Someone was like, hey, I had dinner with Dick Van Dyke. It was like, good for you.
I just felt like, because you know how Tony keeps us relevant?
Right.
I was like, Dick Van Dyke's about to die.
Julie Andrews is 87. Dick Van Dyke is 97. Glynis Johns is 99. Karen Dotrice, the young girl, is 67.
But the boy died when he was like 20.
21.
Yeah.
Matthew Garber died at 21 after contracting hepatitis in India.
Oh, no.
Which was a much more serious business in the 60s and, probably in the 70s.
It'll still kill you.
It'll still kill you, but, like, the effort of of getting back to England for medical care was too long to keep him around. So
R.I.P., bro.
Apologies to him. I'm going to bury this in the faxy segment because I feel so bad about it. Why did both kids have the same dead tooth?
What? Oh. I didn't even notice that.
Both of them. It was like the front right.
Yeah, I saw it.
And as soon as I saw it, I saw it on the boy girl. First. Oh. And then I couldn't not see it. And then I looked at her and I said, she's got one. I hate to lean into the British people dental care stereotype, but these kids, before the 4K streaming, you would never have known.
That's true.
So, yeah, right.
Didn't matter at the time. P.L. Travers, this is based on the books by P.L. Travers, who famously, as depicted in Saving Mr. Banks, was a bit of a pill about the whole thing. She was very controlling of the process. Did not resisted Walt Disney's pleas to adapt it for years and years and years, finally gave in, but really tried to meddle with it throughout and didn't really like it. In the book, Mary is downright unpleasant, and she thought it needed to stay that way. She didn't like the light whimsical stuff. She thought it was too light, too airy.
This is canon.
Yeah. Okay. She was at the premiere, and at the end of the premiere, walked up to Walt Disney and said, I'm sorry, the animation has to go. and Walt was like, it's too late now. We're done. This is it.
Why would you want to get rid of the animation? It's the best part.
It goes on a little too long.
It does go on for a while because it's so awesome.
Yep. It's the year is 1964. And not only are we doing Roger Rabbit shit, I thought Roger Rabbit invented Roger Rabbit shit.
Right.
Not only are we doing that, the carousel horse is jumping up and down, and whenever it hits the cartoon ground, it makes a little trail in the ground.
Yeah.
They're interacting seamless in 1964.
It's pretty mind-boggling. it's very impressive.
They had, just point of order, and I don't even know the deep facts here, but there were other movies that had animation living in with live action. Like Anchors Away is the one that comes to mind. Mm. But that was a little mouse dances at the same time as Frank Sinatra and Gene Kelly.
Right? Okay.
That's not the same as what you're describing here.
This shit was intense.
Really?
It really was.
There are Saving Mr. Banks, which I mentioned a minute ago, 2013, not a number one movie in America, mostly about the making of it. Tom Hanks played Walt Disney.
I originally was going to watch it after this. I've always been a little curious about it. It's one of those movies that got a lone Oscar nomination. Mm. And so if I were doing the Death Race back in 2013, I would have seen it.
Right.
But man, this movie was longer than I wanted it to be. I was ready to stop being in front of my TV.
I think there's an episode. I think there's a Saving Mr. Banks, You Can't Handle the Truth.
Oh.
Go back and check, everybody, because I remember watching it with Kliber, and why else would that have happened? Why else would me and Kliber have gone to see it? I remember there's some tuppence a bag sequence in Saving Mr. Banks, and the woman behind us started singing along.
Oh, my. No.
And I just remember Kliber sighing loudly and then leaning over to me and was like, yeah, okay, fine. We know that he did musicals in high school. Great, thank you. Not a number one movie in America. Did fine. I don't remember it too well. It was a movie. It was a movie you can watch. And then Mary Poppins Returns in 2018. Also not a number one movie in America. Debuted in second behind Aquaman. So we will not see Mary again on this podcast. Couple of things. You know what is not in this film? London. Not a second of filming in England.
It's all soundstage.
Entirely at Walt Disney Studios. And I didn't think we would this far back in time. Here's the who else might have been in these roles. They considered Julie Harris, Angela Lansbury, and Betty Davis for Mary Poppins.
Betty Davis.
Well, they wanted a bitch.
I know, a very different.
Mm-hmm.
Very different.
Walt's first choice for Bert was Cary Grant. Can't imagine anybody else.
I would have liked that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Dick does a great job.
I gotta say, the infamy surrounding his Cockney accent in this has exaggerated its badness in my mind.
What a lot of little bottles.
Okay.
I thought it was too cartoonishly over the top in my memory.
Yeah.
And it's really more just a little inconsistent.
Yeah.
And it's cartoonish, but let's be real.
Right.
So serious.
It's for a reason.
And it's it feels more like a character choice. It's more like a jaunty hat than a bad job.
Exactly.
Yes.
He has this kind of silly voice. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, in a world where we just all uncritically accepted Bane's voice.
I don't know. I don't know about uncritically.
Right, yeah. Do you feel in charge?
I mean, people reference it, but nobody was like, okay. Everybody was just like, yes, that is what Bane would sound like.
Kaj loves my Bane voice.
I
have to put my hand over her face, and she just cracks up.
What a great bit to share with your toddler.
Just at bedtime, it's like, go to sleep.
It's always
now.
Like, do you feel in charge? That's the way I feel.
I've just been swept up in the Disney magic. It is a combination of the fact that these songs are stupid catchy.
Yes.
And Julie Andrews is a great singer. So, like, while I can be like, why do I care about the lady with the birds? That song's beautiful. Like, that was...
Sean, like, leans in.
I know.
No, tell me more about the Tuppence.
That's an Academy Award-winning actress, by the way.
Who is that?
Jane Darwell, for The Grapes of Wrath.
Mm. It's the second time we've told you about an Academy Award-winning bird lady after our conversation about the Home Alone 2 bird lady.
Yes. Brenda Fricker.
Thank you. That was my second stopping point was after that song, and she's singing to the kids, and I'm like, and I'll go to bed now. Isn't this nice?
Speaking of hypnotism, was starting to feel sleepy during the Don't Go to Sleep song.
Very effective. Look, it's very nice from beginning to end with great songs. It's the kind of movie magic I'm looking for.
Yes.
Just the very, like, big production, very colorful, very bright, very enjoyable things are happening on the screen before me. I think stuff like the animation sequence and especially Step in Time are just like...
I love that number.
Movies, yeah. You know.
I love the whole chimney bit.
Like, the chimney bit's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Even like in the end when they're like going through the house and like, vote for women or whatever. they're carrying on.
I was going to say, I'm like, we have to talk for a second about the suffragettes because I do think that they were part of my radicalization as a feminist. And I also remember, like, because when I was a kid, I had a stay-at-home dad and a working mother or working out-of-the-house mother. And I remember, like, the dad's frustration with, like, well, why do you have to go do your things? Like, we shouldn't need a nanny. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh, we will not be having this conversation any further. Yeah. She just was like, I'm done with this talk. You get him.
Right, the day when Dick brings him back after the bank fiasco and she's like, I don't know what to tell you, bro. Like, you're going to have to, always been good with them. Could you watch them, please? I got things to do.
I love her and her team.
And that it's not like, it is not undercut in the song. She's like, we need to do this because men are stupid.
Yes.
It's very, very pure.
And also when they're like, our daughter's daughters will honor us or whatever. I was like, oh, we will.
It's very nice. I was blown away at the end when Dick Van Dyke's like, man, just all of that grind, grind, grind. I'm like, yes. How did you get to the current discourse? What happened? How'd we get here? What? He's right. I don't know. I think the fact that she's... I mean, the other element for me is that it's a little weird and spooky, which I need every movie to be. I think the fact that she's a little, like, standoffish and odd just makes for a more interesting character than if she was just, you know...
A cartoon, just jiggling.
Right,
just...
right. And so that does it. That works for me. But I can see why you're like, why are you being such a pain, Mary?
But I also kind of see, like, it came to light a little bit more at the end when she's leaving and she has her conversation with her umbrella. About you know what, I can see right through you, Mary.
Yeah,
like it's like if I could understand, like you go and you nanny kids for so long, like I mean, you get kind of don't want to be attached.
Yeah,
after a certain point, like it'll break your heart every time you have to leave. It's time to leave. So Mary's just protecting Mary.
Oh, you're right though. Mm-hmm. Colin also got really into that umbrella and was like, apparently the original umbrella is lost.
Oh no.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, like he was like, I wonder how much that umbrella went for at auction, is what he said. And
so this thing is, the prop is lost.
That prop is lost.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shame,
so many
right? questions. So right? many questions.
Yeah, he also was like, how did they do this shot? How did, like, I'm like, I do not know the specifics of 1964 movie effects. Assume it involves a lot of layering of film.
Right. Maybe you'd love to ask your aunt Google.
Yes.
There was something about nitrite chemicals that perfectly burn away I don't know.
Yeah.
The technical 60s things.
He's the chemist. He'll figure it out.
He's a microbiologist.
Science.
I can't tell if I'm vaguely annoyed by the kids or if that's the same thing. It's the same thing as, like, if they're just the most adorable little precious creatures in the world, then we don't have a movie. Like, they have to kind of be shits.
Oh,
but
of course.
They're kind of shits.
They're like, shits, but they're entertaining shits. I don't hate these kids. And maybe it's that might be childhood goodwill mapped onto
them. That's also kind of like age-appropriate shits.
Yeah.
Like, they're not really doing a bunch of malicious nonsense. They're just, you know, however, what are they, 7, 9? Like, I don't know about that. So, yeah.
I do think it was a little much when he lost his shit in the bank.
He incited a whole ass riot in the bank. I loved him for that. He's like, you know what? What I'm not gonna do is let you sit here and tell me what to do with my 2 cents. He's like, give it back after the whole song, the whole number. These dudes broke down the entire banking and financial capitalism system to him, and he's like, nope.
And they almost got eaten by a wolf for it, so it's fine. It's like we learned a lesson. I think J.K. Rowling stole Hermione and Ron from these little kids. As soon as he started talking, I was like, I know that particular blend of...
Interesting.
Quick Hermione aside.
Ginger irritation.
So one time I was hanging out with my friend K-Dax, and we found a really old baby names book. When I say really old, I mean from like the late 80s, mm-hmm. like probably around the time that she was born. Mm-hmm. And we were flipping through, and there was an entry for Hermione. And
really?
It said, a name that is probably only remembered for actress Hermione Baddeley, who is in Mary Poppins.
What? Stop it. Stop it right now. Who was she in?
She's one of the house servants.
Gotcha.
I think she's the maid.
Not the cook. Mm. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
So I'm just, this is the world where I'm trying to compile more evidence that J.K. Rowling never had an original thought, so I can still be like, yeah, get out of here. This is, you did nothing. It's all the movies in the theme park. Come on, we're going to be fine.
So I think that underlies your theory, though.
Yes.
Right?
If there's these kids that have the exact dynamic that Hermione and Ron did, and there's a lady named Hermione in the movie, it's...
Right.
Mm,
mm-hmm.
But I do like that no one around is like, no, these kids are great. Like,
yes.
Right off the beginning when the dad's like, adorable, that's debatable. Like, don't let them get away with anything. I don't know. I like the movie a lot, everybody.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should save Sean's high score for last.
Yeah. So as to not be influenced or feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Camila, you want to start?
70.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going lower than that.
Okay. I'm going to go 80. And like my experience of watching it this time was closer to a 70. But like I know what this movie is. This is for the children.
Right.
And apparently the young at heart. Wait, 70?
You're the youngest one here, aren't you? 70?
Yeah. I am the youngest one
80.
Here. 96.
Yeah, wow. So talk to us in a month and when you're 38, and then you'll be like, no, 80.
No, you know what? It's really kind of episodic. I don't know. That'll end up at 82. 82 is the average score for this Disney's crowning achievement, it said on Wikipedia. Seems just fine. And if you have Disney Plus, which every family in America does, and your kids are of a certain age, that's the thing. I don't think this is, how old is Kaj?
3.
I don't think this is 3. I think this is like 8, 9.
Especially when they've been exposed to like the new phase of Disney.
Like, I think this is like 4 or 5.
Oh,
I think once you can, maybe, and even then it's like, let her watch it in chunks. 220 is too long for a kid, like, but like...
I mean, I should have started off just like, brought her in at super califragilistic.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this other stuff, like right now she's obsessed with Moana, so...
Oh, that's fun.
I also, there is a line in there that I'll probably adopt in my regular lifetime, is when the kids ask Mary to promise that she won't leave until they fall asleep, and she's like, a promise like a pie crust, easily made and easily broken.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, oh, Mary.
Mine is when someone's pushing back against the father and he just replies, kindly do not attempt to cloud the issue with facts.
Nice.
Like, yes. There's a lot of that going on in the world. We never talked about the trailer to Mary Poppins.
Oh, that's right.
Light up the sky. It's the entertainment thrill of a lifetime. Mary Poppins, Walt Disney's newest and most delightfully entertaining motion picture. Starring the toast of Broadway's musical stage, the incomparable Julie Andrews.
For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
And America's fabulous funny man, Dick Van Dyke, as you've never seen him before. Mary Poppins, the fabulous adventures of the world's most charming and delightfully eccentric heroine.
It's something odd, I mean. Extremely odd. about the behavior of this household since that woman arrived.
Yes, dear?
Yes, the wondrous and magical ways of Walt Disney's Mary Poppins so completely and so hilariously discombobulate the family with whom she comes to stay in such delightfully amazing ways. Their lives are never again quite the same. And nor will yours be when you've been touched by the magic of this magnificent new motion picture from Walt Disney, Mary Poppins.
Goodbye, Mary Poppins. Don't stay away too long.
Good trailer. Makes me want to see the movie.
Yes. Was this the original trailer? Because it did feel slightly less old-fashioned and weird than some of the other ones. Maybe I've just been watching a lot of old-fashioned and weird ones, and I've become inured to it.
I think this was the original.
Okay.
Feels, I don't know. I have no idea.
It's one of those, see, Julie Andrews.
Yeah,
right.
Does its job. The letterbox was longest gaps between sequels.
Oh.
I don't know how scientific this is, but on this person's list, they had it fourth because they were talking about Wizard of Oz and Oz the Great and Powerful with James Franco.
I feel like the Fairuza Balk one should count.
But that counts.
Yes.
So dismiss that, and then the list goes Bambi. A Bambi 2 came out 63 years later.
What?
I think it was a Disney direct-to-video.
Yeah, I'm also going to say that doesn't count because it's direct-to-video.
Fantasia and Fantasia 2000 are theatrical releases that are 59 years apart. Mary Poppins and Mary Poppins Returns, 54 years apart.
Okay. Wow.
And they made it a hit. It didn't light the world on fire, but it was successful. Good for them. To our new bingo card.
Yay, which we have.
A lot.
We've added one in Oscar, which.
Emphatically crossed. Stuff.
Yeah.
Combs fixes hair. Doesn't Mary kind of reach up and
yes.
do a
oh,
little
yeah. Okay, I put a half mark because I wasn't sure if that counted, but yes.
Oh, I think so.
And then she has the little, like, sass back with her reflection, which I always enjoy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One of us has previously podcasted or written about the movie. Mr. Banks.
Yes, I was like, did I?
No.
So yes, that is a new square. One of us have previously podcasted or written about this movie. There's also a song from the 80s plays.
That would be tricky.
Uh-huh.
Audio recorder is a new square, but yes. not applicable here.
And holiday celebrated. I don't think there were any holidays. Nobody got a package delivered. Yeah.
Mm. Nope. No.
Underwater shot?
No.
No. Carnival? I'm getting a kind of carnival for a fair?
I'll allow it.
Okay. Anyway,
don't think anything there counts as a poem.
No.
And there wasn't a train.
No
I was
train.
Like, there must have been a train in there somewhere.
Like, how the fuck is there no train in Mary Poppins?
These kids, weren't they on the Hogwarts Express? Same characters. great. Won an Oscar, Combs Fixes Hair, and Carnival. I don't suppose that gives anybody an Oscar.
A bingo?
I was going to say.
They're like giving out Oscars for really low.
I got a long week, okay? Got to go to Moundsville. It's a whole thing.
No, I do not have a bingo.
Well, we're going to have a lot more to say about bingos and the ramifications thereof in a little bit. Before we get to that, it's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. That's the segment where we talk about new movies, everybody. I feel like I haven't said that in about 100 episodes.
Right.
When I say You Can't Handle the Truth, that's where we talk about other things that we've watched, which are frequently new movies. We tried to all go to a movie together.
Did not work out because I got a kid.
Showtime.
Basically.
Every showing of Plane, which I say in all caps, even though it's not written in all caps, every showing of Plane was at 6 p.m. And like this week, I just bought my ticket to see Missing on Thursday. It was at 7:15 or whatever.
Well, six is such a random time for
weird
a
weird time.
Six is too early for it to be your one. If you have one show, it's at 7.
Right. Yeah. Like a lot of people don't get off till 5.
Right.
And, you know, it's just.
Yeah. No. Well, two of us saw Plane.
Yes.
How was
and,
that?
And
oh,
the
also,
second.
Also, when you were like, we're all going to go see Plane together. I know we've been trying to hang out, but I was like, why this?
And I was then, too. I was like, I don't get the joke.
Tony Goldwyn appeared on screen.
Tony Goldwyn's in the film.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Did I mention? No, I messaged everyone
you
about
probably,
Tony Goldwyn in Plane like 4 months ago when the trailer first came out.
Come on now.
But I think when you said, hey, let's all go see Plane together, you weren't like, Tony Goldwyn has a new film. We should all see it together.
That's true.
Just like, let's do this. And I was like, okay.
I know. I was like, I don't get the joke, but I'm here for it.
Yes.
Here's the shocking thing. Despite this being prime dad cinema, I liked this more than Robin. What happened?
I think I was in the wrong mood for it.
Maybe.
Lauren also messaged me like, I can't believe you didn't like Plane.
Wow, you just straight up didn't like it? Or
no,
just...
I mean, I am happy that I spent those 2 hours at the cinema. I don't really recommend it unless you're like, you know what? I really want to watch a Chuck Norris movie that has Gerard Butler instead of Chuck Norris. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was my react. I said to Robin afterwards, I thought we were getting a Liam Neeson movie and we got a Chuck Norris movie.
That is exactly the right way to describe this movie.
I thought we were getting like, you know, the kind of bloodless, like tension forward action movie that Liam Neeson has been doing recently. No, there's all kinds of blood and people getting their heads cut off and guns that where the bullets hit you so hard that you fly backwards for a while. And
a lot of that, lot of flying backwards. Okay. Their ropes crew had their work cut out for them.
You have to kind of look the other way on many things, some of which are plot devices. This whole movie depends on, oops, we landed on a bad guy island.
Yes. And you also have to be like, yes, mercenaries.
They are saved by a rainbow coalition of mercenaries, which I guess was to counteract the fact that we're like, what nation are we terrorizing? Which people are we casting aspersions on?
I don't think they ever really say, do they?
They were kind of like, no, this is a separatist place where no government will
correct.
Go. Yeah. There are some shortcuts. That said, listen, they got on a plane. Shit started going south on the plane. The plane crashed. Then there were hostages. A lot of people got beat up and or shot. And we got out of there. An hour 42.
All right.
Right. I'm mostly happy that like a pure, what Robin said right away is this is a pure B movie.
Yeah.
And a pure B movie was in an actual movie theater in 2023.
Right.
It debuted in fifth, but it was way down. It was like still Avatar, then still Megan, then Puss in Boots, then A Man Called Otto, and then Plane. So apparently this was a failed experiment, but I liked Pain. I like Pain. It's a long week. I liked Plane. I liked The Drop on Hulu. Most people aren't enjoying that. I thought it was a nice little comedy. And I liked Sick. This is interesting. Mm. Almost no advertising or fanfare. Sick is new on Peacock.
Yeah.
It's the first screenplay that Kevin Williamson, who wrote Scream and also Dawson's Creek, it's the first screenplay that he's written in like 18 years.
Seriously?
What?
Because he mostly is like a showrunner. He has like some TV series and is just like the guy that, you know, the guy in charge of a couple TV series.
Wow.
Clearly he got bored in quarantine and was like, I'm going to write a Scream, but now. It's just a straight up slasher movie. That's two cool. Kids like go to a lake house to ride out COVID. Uh-huh. And then someone comes in and is stalking them around the house. And for literally 82 minutes. All like right. We are in, we are out.
Yes.
It depends on how much you want COVID horror, if you're ready yet for that particular blend of, you know. But man, as someone who likes quick and effective slashers, throw that on for a very brief segment of your life on Peacock this weekend.
Yeah, I'm totally gonna do that. I was going to watch that.
And it's I forget her first name, Pamela Adlon's daughter, I'm sorry, who was in Blockers.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, she's great. Robin, what do you watch other than Plane?
I watched The Menu. I see a lot of people have been watching The Menu since it hit.
I watched it as well.
HBO. This is the fundamental example of a movie that insists upon itself.
It insists upon itself.
I loved it.
I can see why you loved it. Colin loved it. Like, if you're on board for this, obviously you're going to enjoy it. I wasn't really on board for it. I bet I would have liked it more if I hadn't seen the trailer. I think that the trailer gave a little bit too much away. You know, like if you spend the first 25 minutes of that movie thinking it's just going to be about obnoxious rich people and then people start dying, I think I would like it a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
As opposed to this is going to be a movie where people die. Right.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you're taking a while to get here. and then also I was like, I have questions.
I had proposed a different ending, like, in my head, and I thought it would have been better that way. But I enjoy seeing Rafe in roles like this.
Oh, he did so good.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
In this like really dark comedic kind of sense.
Yes.
And then him telling the story of Taco Tuesday, like, fuck. That shit was hilarious.
I do think that another thing that made me not like the movie as much is that Anya Taylor-Joy's character, I wish that she were more normal.
Yeah.
She like, be uncomfortable, right? Uh-huh. But she was being straight up obnoxious and mean, and then especially when it's revealed that she's there as an escort, a paid escort,
right.
I'm like, is this part of the contract? Like, is this his kink for you to be mean to him? Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe given the rest of the film. But like that doesn't seem like very professional behavior if you're just hired there to be his date, to be mean at every turn.
Well, wasn't he like kind of an asshole to her?
Yes.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I not to hand wave that complaint, but I'm like, I bet you if you're an escort that looks like Anya Taylor-Joy, you don't have to be nice.
Probably
I bet you if you're like a sexy alien like she is, you don't necessarily have to.
I don't think that's what the business is.
Also provide customer service, but
okay.
I don't know. I feel like it could have been part of his kink.
I think it's part of the only way that it makes sense to me is that that's part of the contract. So that's what I'm going to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, I really, I will watch it again.
I've almost put it on again, and I don't do that a lot, but it's staring at me on HBO Max, and I'm like, yeah, I want to see that kid get embarrassed when he tries to make lamb again. That was fun.
The other thing I watched, which I know we've talked about here, is Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul. I liked it so much more. Like, I thought it would be, this will entertain me for some time, but I actually, like, genuinely was like, this is a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, man, did I love all those hats.
That is
so many good church hats in that movie.
That is a fair representation of church hats.
I think the main thing is that, like, you had mentioned, and I'd kind of seen chatter on Twitter, and this is, like, spoilers for this movie, which has been out for almost
a while.
I was expecting there to be child abuse,
And
it was just straight-up normal sexual misconduct.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so I was, like, hugely relieved, because, like, when you said and when other people said, like, this gets kind of dark.
Yeah.
You know, it's just normal abuse of power.
Yeah, you know, just the use.
And, like, they were younger.
Yeah.
Like, he was clearly, they made it very clear he was abusing his power with this. And that scene where he tries to seduce that guy.
Yeah, the camera guy or something.
So upsetting.
Yeah.
So well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hugely relieved that it did not go as dark as I thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready to see Sterling K. Brown in many more things.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's
shout out to Regina Hall, as always.
Mm-hmm. She's so great. Shout out to Regina Hall accepting Kevin Costner's Golden Globe.
Yeah, that was great.
The best thing that's happened on television in ages.
Kevin Costner, he so much wanted to be. I always like how they write this. It's like, he so much wanted to be. No, I'm sure he did. He so much. I mean, if he won, I know he would have really won. But you won. So he so much wanted to be here. But because of the unprecedented weather and flooding, he has to shelter in place in Santa Barbara. Jesus. No, this is a sad story right now. This is, sorry, he's stuck in Santa Barbara. Let's pray, everyone. No, that's awful. No. This is true. This is true. Everyone, we pray and we hope that everyone affected by these storms remains safe. And I'm going to accept that award right there on your behalf, Kevin.
I did not see that.
Clearly embarrassed that she was laughing her way through the teleprompter. But it was one of those things where once you start being embarrassed, you just keep embarrassing yourself. Mm-hmm. But also, she's Regina Hall, so she can't embarrass herself because everything she does is amazing.
Right.
But also, consider that she was one of the hosts of the Oscars last year.
Yeah.
This woman is hosting chaos.
Yeah.
Get her on the Kids' Choice Awards.
Camila, of all of the failed Oscar bait of 2022, how'd you land on Amsterdam?
Because I like Christian Bale in kooky roles.
Sure.
Yeah. And and also, but most importantly, Timothy Oliphant was on the list. Was on the cast list. Was on the cast.
He's not around a lot.
No, he's not.
No.
And it's upsetting.
But even a little is enough for you.
Sometimes
isn't it?
A little sprinkle will do. But I did not enjoy the movie that as much as I would have liked to.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was just kind of like the script was just kind of hosh posh. Like, it wasn't cohesive, and it's just with all those people, with all those really great performers in a room, you know, on a set, and they just couldn't get it together. And I didn't enjoy it.
It is a perfectly average movie. It is just exists, just there.
Yep. I saw Men.
And?
I don't even
know. A lot going on.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I'm like, what? What?
I wish that I had a little camera on you watching Men. I think Sean referenced this last week that like you'd really want to see people react to things,
yeah.
But I really want to see you specifically react to things.
It was all. I don't even know how. I can't put it into words.
What is it exactly that we're looking at here?
I don't know if I can spoil like the whole split.
Yeah, like that was the thing that I was saying last week. That is so. Spoilers for Men.
Yeah.
Guy cuts his hand up to, like up his arm, has a big fork hand for the rest of the movie.
Right.
And it's weirdly vaginal or like labia rather. It just looked silly to me. And then, so like, you don't want to enter a place of this is silly at that point in the movie,
right?
Because shit's about to get much sillier.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I get, you know, the whole message
yeah.
in the entire movie, yeah. but it also kind of feels like, okay, you've hit the horse is dead. Like, I yes. need you to stop it. Stop.
Yeah.
And it's no longer like, you know, symbolism. It's now, you know, just flat out, we're just going to give you the straight up narrative. Like, it's,
yeah.
I don't think it needed to happen.
It didn't. That movie could have been much better than it was.
Yeah.
If somebody at some point was like, no.
Yeah. I probably gave it a good score, and I might have, I don't remember if I reviewed it or not. I feel like whatever credit I give it, it's like you were 2/3 of a good movie. And you tried really hard.
Yeah.
And let's just not talk about how things ended up. Because truly it was like, I have a point to make. I have a point to make. Fuck, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And like, make it gross. Just make it gross and goofy. And then let's get out of here.
I mean, I love lots of movies like this that go too far. Like, I love Mother. Right? You know,
right.
like that's
right.
a great example of a movie that goes too far and maybe doesn't hold up to deep scrutiny symbolically. And nevertheless, I was like, yes, go farther. Yeah. And this movie goes too far.
I don't understand. I have a question about the boy with the mask.
Yes.
Was this a man's head CGI'd on a child's body?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, all right. Just making sure. Just
they all put, the men were the same guy,
yeah.
including the boy. Yeah, it's the same actor.
Yes, if you have too much white man face blindness, you might miss that thematic element.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I okay. Yeah. God, I mean, I saw that they, you know, were. I knew that they turned into that
right.
at the end, but I did not.
The whole
know.
Time,
the priest and everybody else, all okay. the same, okay. same face.
All right, mm-hmm. yeah. Too much.
Too much.
Wait, who is it? It's Jesse Buckley, isn't mm-hmm. it? All of that ending, which if you haven't seen Men.
I envy you.
For 12 minutes, she just has to keep backing up slowly, going like, ugh. Like, that's all. And she tries, but what can you do other than still gross?
Right.
Oh, you're still doing that thing. I think I'm at the back of the building now. I don't know if I can back up anymore.
And it just keeps happening yeah. over and over.
There's a birthing situation. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Talked about the menu and the whale. Mm-hmm. I watched the whale, which I really enjoyed. I did not cry like I thought I was going to.
Okay.
I thought I was going to sob, but I came really close, but it didn't happen. But yeah, I think everybody did a fantastic job, especially the woman who played his nurse friend. I don't.
Hong Chow.
Yeah.
Who's also great in the menu.
Yes.
Yes.
Which I saw mm-hmm. after that. I was like, hey,
it's my buddy.
Could get an Oscar nomination. Not out of the question.
Yeah. And you know, Brendan Fraser, congratulations to him. Because, I mean, he really put it all in there. He put it all out there. It was just like a really heartbreaking story. And then fucking Samantha, what's her name? Not Mathis, but his ex-wife.
Oh, what is her name?
Samantha Morton.
Samantha Morton's in this?
Yeah, she shows up and it's like, fuck, now things are about to get real. Like, and whenever like Samantha Morton shows up, it's like,
yeah,
shit's about to be chaotic.
She was so good and she said.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I would recommend. I kept trying to see your point about dude hating on, and I get it, just because a lot of the shots and then just a lot of like the little things that like his daughter would do to, you mm-hmm. know, like the posts on Facebook that she made and like the pizza guy, him lingering, like the stare,
like that moment.
Yeah, that was mm-hmm. that was unnecessary. There mm-hmm. was like a lot of that stuff that was just, we could have just done without and just told his story as it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We didn't need the extra ogling or the extra like lingering looks and mm-hmm. things. And judgment,
but the performances are kind of undeniable.
Yeah,
you know, there are. I just looked at people I know on Letterboxd, and it is all up and down.
Yeah.
From 1 to 5. But no one really argues with the performances. So good luck, Robin. I know you've been.
Well, I mean, it comes down to, do we want nice things for Brendan Fraser, or do we want to spare me 2 hours of pain? And I think we all agree we want nice things for Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
He was fantastic at the Critics' Choice Awards, because it's really the first, it was certainly the first like televised award he's won for
yes.
this.
Probably the first thing he has accepted, right?
It's got to be the first award he's accepted on television.
Or, yeah.
What else like, in his
period.
Career?
Yes. Yeah.
There may be an MTV Movie Award somewhere
right.
in the past. But he was clearly very moved by this and, you know, seems to genuinely believe in what he's doing. So,
yeah.
Good for him.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Report back about the whale.
Time for a movie draft.
Hey, it's a Woo! Movie draft, everybody. Robin has finally figured out what our rules are. I mean, most of them. There's a few question marks. But Robin has figured out what most of our rules are around the wonderful world of bingos. And we now know that when two people get a bingo at the same time, they have a movie draft. It has happened a few times before. This is the first time I am not involved. I have lost every single time. never selected a movie that made it through to episode. So what we're going to do is Camila and Robin both have four movies that they are going to present one at a time, back and forth. Each of Camila and Robin has two vetoes that they may use, but you got to toss them out not knowing what's coming.
Right.
So you could, you know, just not be in the mood for what your opponent says, like, I don't feel like watching that. And then the next pick could be the Transformers Jackass crossover movie. Actually, I'd like that. So four picks, two vetoes. If we are left with more than four movies, I will break the tie. And then we're going to go on Twitter and have you decide what we're doing next, which means we have to do this fairly quickly.
Yes.
So who goes first?
I go alphabetical order by first name.
Sure.
Oh, wait. That's
yeah.
That's
you win
me in
both.
There.
Yeah.
Okay. The Cell.
Letting it happen. It was on my long list.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
all right, nice.
I'm very intrigued by that movie. I did see it. I don't really remember it, but yes.
It's way spookier than you might remember.
I remember certain images from it that like haunt me.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm like, let me revisit the connective tissue. I'm already haunted. Right?
Right. I revisited that maybe about 10 years ago and held up. It's very late 90s in a lot of ways. But,
yeah. Okay, my first choice is Poetic Justice.
Ooh, that was on my long list.
Okay,
as well.
I put it on the other day and I was like, never mind. I think this is a Nomia, and if it is, it's going on my list.
Right.
And it was, and it is.
I'll allow it.
Okay.
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
Ooh.
Sidney Poitier. Ooh. Robin is thinking.
You'd really have to justify it.
I am going to allow it
okay.
Because I don't think it has that much of a shot. I don't really want to rewatch that movie.
Gotcha.
But also, even if it is selected, there's a ton to talk about. And,
yeah.
And I don't ever mind looking at Sidney Poitier.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I've never seen it. So.
Okay. Oh, I'm next. 9 to 5.
Okay. It's been a very long time since I've seen it. I'll allow it.
Yours, this is far too
polite. We're being so nice.
I know, right?
Remember... Now you
now the vetoes are essentially free.
Now the vetoes
right.
are free.
Yes.
You have nothing to fear. Camila?
Yes.
I think I've tried this before. I'll try it again. Imitation of Life.
I'm going to allow it. Again, right. One that I'm like, I don't really want to watch this, but I haven't seen that.
Oh, really?
And so, and I know, like, I have to.
Yes.
Yes.
Robin?
The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming.
I'm not even writing this down.
I'm going to, what? Tell me something.
It's a late 60s comedy starring Alan Arkin. It was nominated for Best Picture. He was nominated for Best Actor.
I'm going to veto that.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to watch it anyway. It's on streaming.
I didn't want to write all of those words, even half of them. Enjoy watching that.
Yes.
Camila, your final choice.
And finally, Lady Sings the Blues.
Also on my list.
Amazing. We are simpatico.
Yes. No, Diana Ross, Billie Holiday. Why wouldn't you want to watch this? I have wanted to watch this since I saw the United States versus Billie Holiday a couple Oscar seasons ago, and it has not been available. But Sean just found it available for us.
Yes,
so I'm watching it, even if y'all don't pick it.
Yeah.
Well, by our bylaws, since that appeared on both of your choices, that is automatically in the poll.
Yes.
Oh, great.
So that is in the poll. So then there are five left, and I've got to choose three of these five. Mm-hmm. I'm me, so The Cell is going to make it.
All right.
Is 9 to 5 from the year 1980?
I think so, yes.
Because if you remember... when we did the backdoor pilot of this show, when the two of you came on You Can't Handle the Truth and picked the best movie year ever, I picked 1980, and 9 to 5 was one of the examples of, that's people supposed to like that from 1980.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I haven't seen it. So 9 to 5 will be in the poll. And that leaves me with the kind of heavy guess who's coming to dinner or imitation of life choice.
Are you dismissing Poetic Justice?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently I am.
All right.
Apparently I did that without trying.
Yeah.
I would like to see both of these movies, but I think I'm a little more just where I'm at right now, you know, timeline-wise, declaring Mary Poppins one of the best movies I've ever seen. Feels more like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Okay.
Or would the Imitation of Life... I already said it.
No, Guess Imitation Who's Coming to of Dinner. Life would not be anything like Mary Poppins.
No.
No, definitely not. So, your choices are Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, 9 to 5, The Cell, and Lady Sings the Blues, due to...
What happened to Poetic Justice again?
He dismissed it.
Oh.
I'm cutting Poetic Justice and Imitation of Life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's we only can have four, gotcha. And I tiebreak had to pick three of the five. Lady Sings the Blues was automatic. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, 9 to 5, The Cell, Lady Sings the Blues.
That'll be an interesting poll.
Soon after you hear this, probably already by the time you hear this, this poll is up on @number1moviepod. On Twitter. And speaking of things we're going to be watching soon, Row House Cinema.
Yay! Live and in person, Nomia.
Yes, we finally, after how many years, a global pandemic, never successfully hanging out outside of recording a thing, finally, we are doing some live events and is wrapped around number one movie in America week at Row House Cinema. We got a week, everybody.
I'm so proud of myself. Of us.
Yes.
Yes.
Remember when we had a run of iconic films that we all liked a lot? Well, you're going to get to come and see them. We will be showing Raiders of the Lost Ark, Get Out, and Silence of the Lambs from Friday, February 3rd through Thursday, February 9th. All three of those will be playing. The main event, it's going to be kind of a mystery movie night in that, you know how most weeks we draw a movie at random? We're going to do that right the heck in front of you.
Yes.
We are going to put 12 movies on a big wheel. Robin has access to a big wheel.
Yes.
And spin the wheel and then watch the movie that it lands on. For added surprise, we're probably not going to tell anybody what is going on the wheel until they walk into the room.
But it's a curated list, okay?
Right.
There will be no On a Clear Day You Could See Forever style
No
picks.
Worries about that.
There's no complete duds in there.
Yes.
Everything is vaguely interesting to a classic of cinema.
Right.
Yes, and we've all had input on it,
yes.
All three of us.
And also, some of the thing that makes it extra fun, it's not like there's 12 of the best movies ever, right? There are movies on there where I would not call them complete duds. We'll make at least one of the three of us go,
oh. Right.
But that's part of the fun.
But we'll make the audience happy. I don't think there's anything on there that anyone's going to be like, why did I buy a ticket?
Right.
Yes.
No, it's all going to be interesting. And we checked, none of them are longer than 122 minutes.
Yes.
So you're not going to get caught with Avatar. That is Saturday, February the 4th at 7 p.m. Come out and see us. Buy tickets now. I know a lot of events at Row House tend to sell out in advance, so if you'd like it, come out. We're going to turn that into a podcast.
Yes.
We're going to record the pre-show and the draw and us talking about what we're about to see, watch the movie together, and then head downstairs to Beerport and record our reactions and takes and your takes. Be on the show.
Yes.
You can be on the, instead of paying several hundred dollars for that guest spot once a year, you could pay $15, I think, to attend this event. $12.
$12.
Even better.
To attend this event.
And give your on-air input.
Exactly. We're talking about maybe a little trivia before one of the shows on Sunday night. There's going to be a couple other shows that we just show up and introduce. Whatever you do, go to Row House. Support Row House. As you're hearing this, it's Cult of John Carpenter week.
Oh,
Come on. The Thing, Starman, They Live, and Big Trouble in Little China. Then they're going to go into some kind of alien-themed thing. They're going to show WALL-E and Iron Giant and Aliens and The Fifth Element. I'd watch any one of those movies right the heck now. Go anytime, but especially during number one movie in America week.
Yes, please. We would love to see you. And, you know, sometimes you want to see what our in-person foibles are like.
Yeah.
And we'll be there on display.
I hold my hands on my hips.
And finally... the date we're going with, the first date that Mary Poppins was the number one movie in America, was October 28th, 1964. What do you think the number
one? The Beatles?
No.
64. Supremes?
Robin's in the right country.
Rolling Stones?
No. Not a one-hit wonder, but close.
64.
Almost. You would almost be inclined to call this a novelty song.
Turn.
Feels a little later.
I don't know.
None.
It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to.
Ooh.
No more than, much like Chim Chim Cheree, 0 to 1 of the words in this title are a word. Nonsense song titles of the 60s.
Na-na-na-na. Hey.
What's the one about 70s. The witch doctor?
I think it's called Witch Doctor.
Yeah.
What's my gender?
Man. Male.
Boy.
No, first word.
Man.
Say that twice, but leave a gap in the middle.
Man.
And since I'm a man, I could have a very manly, old-fashioned name, like this character who was friends with Lucy and Ricky.
Harold?
What was Ethel's husband?
Fred?
Say?
Fred.
Say that with the other word around it twice.
Manfred Mann?
Yeah.
I have no idea what that means.
Blinded by the Light?
No, not that one.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense, because that song was written in the 70s.
What's their other one?
Doo-Wah Diddy.
Yes.
Oh, here we go. Wow.
Took a while.
Good job, Robin.
I don't think I've ever put together that that's the same artist.
That's also Manfred Mann. Or that they're British. I don't know.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about Doo-Wah Diddy.
I've never heard of that band. I didn't know who sang that song.
Yeah.
Including that there are two Diddies in the title.
It's Doo-Wah Diddy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. That's just egregious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what we were doing at the time.
Yeah.
Who put the bump in all of this? We just said noises over a fast beat and called
several
it a
times.
Hit. Chim Chim Cheree. What's that?